Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Some kids have and some kids don't, and some of us are wondering why. And mom won't watch the news at night, there's too much stuff.
Wow, Doug, I was already in kind of a melancholy mood, and now you hear this. And it's a holiday week, you're just kind of, you're wanting to get to Thursday, sit down, enjoy some fellowship with your family. Have a nice turkey pizza.
Right.
And make your Christmas lists.
Are we going to be able to get any of those turkey pizzas on the market before Thursday?
I think if we really hustle, and if Lena's Pizza wants to get in on this, you know, we should get probably 90% of the profits. They do most of the work.
Right.
But we'll, since it's
we'll
our
put our
idea,
name on it.
Well, actually, it was Rennie's idea.
Our picture on the box.
Well, but we're stealing Rennie's
forget
idea.
Forget Rennie.
Yes.
He just talked about it. We're going to take action.
Correct. We're going to build on his idea.
No, like
put
if you
it
just take a pizza
motion.
That's already got things on it, like sausage and pepperoni.
Sausage?
Bless you, Charlie. I know he's getting ready to sneeze. Thank you. If you want to
just
put,
cough.
You just want to put like pieces of turkey on there and then throw in there. But not gravy and dressing and...
I'm going to give a plug to Casey's General Store.
Why?
Because it goes with this
That's
topic.
Illinois, baby. That is heart of Illinois.
It
you love Casey's.
It is unbelievable. Casey's is fantastic. What I bring it up is they do a breakfast pizza with a gravy base, and it's phenomenal. It's one of their higher grossing pizzas. So the gravy does work. It would all depend on how big your turkey chunks are, and the stuffing is still a mystery
chunks.
How that is added onto the pizza. Maybe you cook that separately with a late addition.
Why don't you throw some mashed potatoes and some sweet potatoes on there, too. Just
maybe
make a big
side of mashed potatoes.
Pile of crap on a pizza shell.
I'm trying to make it work, but the gravy would work, but it all depends on your timing.
Now, it's not out of the realm of normalcy in regard to turkey now that I think about it, because you think, why don't you have spaghetti and turkey? Well, there is. Turkey tetrazzini is basically a pasta and turkey.
Turkey tet.
But it's not on a pizza shell.
No, but it is a food you don't normally equate with turkey. Spaghetti.
First of all, I'm going to Google this. I guarantee you a restaurant has already done this. I promise you they've had a week of Thanksgiving turkey pizza. I think Plowsy is on it right now. By the way, Casey's, I love Casey's General Store because it reminds me of driving around when I was working in Peoria, Illinois. There's a Casey's in every small town of Illinois. And as you said, Plowsy, they have great snacks at Casey's.
Isn't there one up on Brentwood Boulevard? Isn't that a Casey's?
Plowsy? I think it's mostly Illinois.
Mostly, I know. I think there's a couple locales in Missouri, though.
Don't say locales.
I'm looking at a recipe right now, and this kind of is our idea, but not really. Yeah. It's after your Thanksgiving dinner, you take the leftovers, make a homemade pizza crust, and then use the gravy base, and then put your... So you cook items separately, and then after the fact, make the pizza crust homemade, and
there's
then put
the... There's
1,000
turkey pizza recipes.
I think yes, I'm looking at one right now, and the other one is like a spread potato mixture over hot baked pizza crust layered with turkey, cranberry sauce, stuffing. So it can work.
Sure it can.
It sounds like something that Tunnels 12,000 might be
I hope the email is referencing a turkey pizza. I would love that.
You and say by this the way, turkey pizza is the best in the city? I'll have two, please.
And Casey's, as I was Googling, I just happened to, it was actually founded by KC from KC and the Sunshine Band.
It was not.
I'm all in.
That's the way, I like it.
It's not
That's
even spelled the,
way.
The same.
We have some more fun with audio. Can I just play this one clip? Because I am a huge Sergio Dip fan. I really am. Yeah. Having the time of his life. And I didn't know that he made his return to NFL Countdown. So I would like to hear this clip personally. Then we can move on. Clip 6, apparently Sergio Dip makes his return to ESPN.
Sam, that's right. We're standing outside of Estadio Azteca. How big is this game? The locals are calling it the Mexican Super Bowl. Both teams stayed in downtown Mexico City, about 9 miles away, and the team's buses should be arriving here in less than an hour. In terms of game preparation, after playing the Broncos, the Patriots stayed in Colorado, acclimating to the altitude, while the Raiders, who played here last year against the Texans, stayed in their home facility. Sam, back to you.
He's very detailed.
That's a good report.
No, it was. He's very detailed.
What's good about it?
Well,
what do you want him to do? He's previewing the game.
We played it because it's an upgrade from his original appearance, obviously. Yeah. So he has learned to be quicker.
No.
Do you watch these countdown shows? This is what they do for a big game. They literally say the buses have left the hotel.
Yeah.
They'll have a 5-minute drive. They're greeted by fans.
I get it.
I've done those things for the Fox thing.
Okay, my point is this. My point is this.
Don't touch me, dude. Don't touch me, especially when you're leaving us for the holidays when we need you the most.
You are mad about that. My point is this. If I said, hey, guys, I did a great preview of the Cardinals Reds, let me play it, you'd go, what are you playing that for?
No, here's the difference.
You're playing this because, like, look, he did a good one. That's why.
No, I was wondering if maybe he did something funny, and that's why we were playing it. I'm glad this dude has bounced back.
I played it for the redemption story.
There you go.
Okay.
Redemption. So let's put the Latino on because they're in Mexico.
It's kind of like the Mizzou turnaround. This guy's had his own turnaround.
Wait, what is it?
It's a turnaround.
All right, it's a turnaround.
Yeah.
I like Sergio Dip as well, although that first one was a disaster.
Well, but I'm glad because I wasn't going to bet anything until I found out how far away from the stadium they're actually staying and when the buses were going to arrive. Then I laid my money.
Don't forget, the Patriot got acclimated to that high altitude.
Yeah.
And then they destroyed the Raiders.
Good for him. Good report.
So Marshawn Lynch sat for our anthem, but stood for the Mexican national anthem.
Did he?
Did you read that?
I didn't watch it. I watched the early games. You know,
that's how stupid he is. The Mexican government is far more oppressive than the American government ever thought it ever began to be.
But did you need the President of the United States needing to weigh in on Marshawn Lynch?
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, let's hear it. I didn't see this.
Marshawn Lynch of the NFL's Oakland Raiders stands for the Mexican anthem and sits down to boos for our national anthem. Great disrespect. Next time, NFL should suspend him for remainder of the season. Attendance and ratings way down. He has extra characters. He could have wrote, not doing well.
Sad.
Not doing well.
I noticed that the NFL is bending over backwards to try to show its patriotism with commercials and PSAs. And last week, Fox did their whole show on an aircraft carrier in Norfolk, Virginia. There's been several commercials talking about how much they love the military now. They're pouring on the PR.
That was Veterans Day weekend. Yeah. But I agree with you 100%.
See, here's the thing. Everyone in this country has rights, and I'm for people using their fame or what have you to underscore an issue that they feel is very important, the injustice that they perceive. And I'm for that. But me personally, I would always stand for the anthem because I think if you're protesting that aspect of the United States of America, you're kind of protesting a bigger, broader picture. So I wouldn't do that. But I'm for their right to kneel if they want to. But at the same token, if you're running a business, you're going to have to accept the consequences. I don't know if I were the NFL how I would handle that. Like, do you think it's right for them to say you have to stand?
Yeah, I think that's probably what they should say.
The initial backlash to that will be pretty rough. Although I think in the end that would be the only way to resolve it. But I think the backlash to a certain percentage of players have, you know, guys tell you that you have to stand for the national anthem.
Right.
I think that could cause.
We all have bosses that can tell us what to do while we're at work.
I agree, but they have a players association that really has a lot of power as well. So, you know, kind of similar to a union where if you don't like something, you all can band together and get it changed.
Nonetheless,
I'm
in a union, but it doesn't give me the right to behave however I want to behave while I'm at work.
Here's what would happen. What do you do if Goodell says, okay, here's the rule. If you kneel for the national anthem, you're suspended for a game. I guarantee you at least 10 teams would all kneel, and then there would be nobody playing.
Yeah, I think, like I said, backlash to that would be pretty severe. You could have to get, like, replacement players if a situation like Iggy came about.
Then get it.
You saw how replacement refs went in that one game. It was the quickest thing ever after the Seattle.
NFL is going to stand for trashing the country. That's what the NFL stands for, our right to disrespect the flag.
That's
the issue that the NFL is going
to
take.
I'm with you, but I'm saying to force guys to stand will cause an uproar. I'm not saying it causes it for me. I'm saying it will. That's no question.
I don't think they're going to have to force them. Apparently, the NBA, it's part of the rules that you have to stand for the national anthem. And again, we all assume that everybody's supposed to stand for the national anthem, which we are. But apparently in the NFL rules, that's not part of it. So I think what Plowsy said is correct. You do have a very, very strong players union. And I would bet that this will be collectively bargained in the next time around, mm-hmm. where something will be resolved here where it'll look better for both. The owners will probably get something like, hey, you can protest, just stand for the anthem. This is part of the rules now. The players will get something in return. Now, whether that's, I don't know, charity towards causes that they believe in, that they feel that's strongly what, about. And I think that's how it will be resolved.
However, I agree with you. I think they'll do it quietly, but they'll demand that the owners put money into things that are trying to level the playing field or training or, you know, things like that will benefit their cause.
Or healthcare for the players. I mean, whatever it is that the players want, they're going to get something in return for doing this for the ownership.
And that's America.
And this may not be 100% correct, but the difference between the NFL and the NBA has had protests. You remember, you know, they have silent protests like wearing all black warm-ups, you know, not showing the NBA logo or their team's logo. LeBron and the Cavs have done that. I know other teams have done that as well. And they're not fined for it. In the NFL, if you do that similar thing, you're fined for it. So their next option is to kneel for the anthem. And I think with the NBA, you have options outside of kneeling for the anthem that you can do a silent protest. They haven't yet, but they have in the past.
Well, there's ways of doing it without kneeling during the national anthem. And you saw, because Jerry Jones has already said, if any of my players kneel, they're being fined, suspended, whatever. So Jerry Jones took part in that one where they all kneeled before the anthem. Okay, you're showing, you know, what you're protesting. Great, before the anthem, do that. Go out there during the player introductions, kneel, and then stand up during the national anthem. You're still protesting, but you're not really taking a shot at the flag and the veterans who are fighting every day for you so you can go out there and play football and make millions of dollars.
And Plowsy, you're having a good show, Plowsy. Another great comparison with the NBA, because you have a lot of guys who are also outspoken, whether it's for causes versus Trump, whatever it is. I remember LeBron James had a shirt that said, I can't breathe, when you had the Eric Garner situation when he was choked out on the street. And again,
wasn't fined or wasn't ridiculed by the NBA at all for that.
But the difference is, he can protest the way he wants, but he's not disrespecting, in some people's eyes, the flag. And that's the thing. And that's why what Iggy said, when everybody kneeled Jerry Jones before the anthem, I think people were like, all right, I'm okay with that. That's a much better way to do this than to do it during the national anthem. And that's what I'm saying, where LeBron James can protest whatever he wants to protest, which in a way is the same type of thing that Colin Kaepernick was protesting, but he did it with a shirt during warmups, then he stood for the anthem, and you don't have the public backlash.
And the NFL has such a strict apparel policy that I think you get fined even for those personalized cleats. I still think guys do it. And the NBA does not have that. And so, like I said, in the NFL, if you were to have T-shirts made or jackets made, you're getting the fine, whereas kneeling for the anthem, you are not. And so that's why they chose that route. That's why I'm saying the NBA has other alternatives, and it makes it look less, I don't know, bad towards the league.
And can't you leave it up to the coaches, too? Because what was it? Was it the Bengals that said that we're just going to do it in the locker room, we're going to approach, and then the one guy came out in the tunnel and felt bad for the players, but they did it all before they came out on the field. And Tony La Russa had always said, now this is baseball, but his players had to be out there all standing for the national anthem. And I don't know what his policy was, if you weren't out there, fined or whatever. So I think that the coaches and the managers can also talk to their team and say, let's do this.
The problem is with a head coach is you don't want to create factions within the clubhouse or the locker room.
But
in
if
this
you're
case,
respected as a coach,
not
then
everyone
they might
can
listen.
Do that. I don't think everyone
not
can
everyone,
do that.
Not everyone, but
and you end up creating divisiveness within your own team if the head if a lot of players feel strongly about taking a knee or whatever, and you mandate that nope, the team is standing. Then you're going to create something that wasn't there to begin with.
I didn't say mandate. I said just have managers and coaches talk to their players. Can we do this? How do you feel about doing this? Is there another way we can go about it? And if you can't get an agreement, well, but at least you try it that way within each team before the NFL gets involved.
The whole league just turns my stomach right now. Yeah. That this is even a factor. I mean, we know for sure they're not protesting income inequality as they make their millions of dollars to play 16 games a year. You got a commissioner demanding $49 million a year and private air, a private jet and lifetime insurance, and he needs $49 million. You got players, owners lying to us about why they're moving out of cities. Three different cities have lost their team in the last 2 years. The whole thing makes me sick. I can't stand the direction that the whole league has gone in. It's all driven by greed, and it drives me crazy.
And what's so crazy about especially Goodell and his contract demands or wants, he wants lifetime health insurance where he has players over the course of the years who are literally dying mm-hmm. from playing football.
Whose brains
are basically being turned into mush mm-hmm. and you have CTE and none of these players or most of them are not getting near the medical care that they need, especially after they're done playing. And you have this billion-dollar business, and here's the commissioner making almost $50 million. He wants his private jet. And you know what? That's probably similar to other big-time CEOs, so I get it. But he wants his lifetime health insurance, where you have guys who gave their life for 3-4 years in the league, and maybe they didn't manage their money well. I'm not saying that, hey, there's not accountability there. But then they're having serious, serious health issues after the fact, and they can't pay for it.
Yeah, here's a guy who wants almost... And he's already made hundreds of millions of dollars in the time he's been a commissioner. Now, a big thing is he wants lifetime health insurance. What would health insurance cost him to pay if he had to pay out of his pocket for his family of, I believe it's five? What, might that be $10,000 a year, $15,000 a year? And yet it's not enough. $50 million a year isn't enough.
There's a new proposal out that I think, I don't know exactly where it came out of, but now the new proposal or the new agreement or trying to be an agreement is $10 million instead of the $50 million.
Don't you think the league would look
for his salary?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. He's going to make... I mean, he was already making 30, 40.
This was tweeted out by somebody in the NFL that said this would be the counter or what Jerry Jones and his people think that he should
demand. I just hope that it's a giant, ugly war between Jones, his people, the league, Goodell, and I hope it's bloody and awful and because of anything that can... create upheaval within the ranks of the NFL. I'm for.
Me too.
Speaking of that, we do have an audio clip, and I just looked, and I think it probably makes sense for this conversation. Yep. Mike Francesa, our guy, calls NFL greedy right after reading a commercial spot for the NFL. Let's take a listen.
Now, you're invited to Super Bowl 52 for a once-in-a-lifetime experience with the NFL on location. Cheer from the team tunnel and celebrate on field after the game. Plus, you receive access to hotel accommodations and exclusive events with headline entertainment, celebrity chefs, and NFL legends. With the official pass to Super Bowl 52 in Minnesota, you'll be as close as it gets to the action. Select your seats today at NFLonlocation.com. This is the NFL now in the business of selling you astronomical NFL ticket packages. Instead of having scalpers do it, they now are basically hiking up the price and everything and selling to you themselves. Rather than having travel agents do it and guys do it and people making money on their tickets, they decided, the heck with it. We'll scalp our own tickets. Put them in a package, charge you a fortune, let you run out of the tunnel. We don't care. They'll let you kick off one day if you pay them enough money.
Yeah.
That's how greedy this league is. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the NFL actually paid for that first advertisement. That's what's hilarious,
probably. Right?
Well, he's retiring anyway. He's retiring. He doesn't need
And this
them
is not anymore. Edited at all. I'm talking right after he got done with the read, he put the paper down and just started grilling
Good.
The NFL, which
Good
I thought
him.
Was fantastic.
Good for him. Yeah. And you know what? Like, I don't know if it could be some travel group in partnership with the NFL is going to make money off that. I don't know. But the point is, he didn't sell that spot. And he feels that way about the NFL, so he said it.
No,
there's a certain amount of freedom knowing that that's not your show.
I'm going to disagree with you saying good for him. He may feel that way, but this company is spending money on his show. That's like saying, you know, we talk about a company, you know, we read the spot, and then we're done with the spot and say, that's just stupid. This. I don't know why anybody would eat that. That's terrible. Don't go there. I mean, you can't trash somebody that's spending money on your show.
If it's the NFL and that's the way you feel about it,
yeah. That's why
we're not saying it's ethical. We're just saying we liked it.
Well, if you feel that way, then tell the person that sold your spot, I'm not reading that on my show. Don't read it and then trash it.
No, take the NFL's money and then trash them. That's what we like. Not ethical, but we like it.
Any sort of upheaval around the NFL, within the NFL, is
we're
a good thing
favor.
For
mm-hmm.
for this country.
Don't you think the NFL would look exactly like it does today if they had somebody making $100,000 a year as a commissioner as opposed to Roger Goodell making $50 million a year? You think you'd be able to tell the difference in the entertainment value? I don't.
See, and I don't hate watch the Rams. I never thought that was a good idea because I knew at some point the laws of averages would weigh in and they'd be good. So what's the point of that? I'm not making fun of their crowds because they will probably once they get into their new facility, have decent crowds. I don't care. But when these things come up and I think about them leaving and them holding that stupid public hearing and making people go through the effort of dredging up these emotions about the NFL team that they love, knowing it was just a game.
And spending, what, $16 million?
And my kid's saying, well, who do we root for now, Dad?
Nobody.
Porzingis.
Find a college team.
That does. It ticks me off to this day. So anything that's bad for the league, I mean, I'm not talking about the health of the players. I'm talking about the league itself. Any sort of upheaval, I ring the bell for.
Yeah, I disagree.
Michael's Flooring Outlet. We would never do a read for them and then criticize them because they're fantastic. Right. Michael'sFlooringOutlet.com, Doug. The huge blowout sale on Mohawk waterproofing floors. Or, Doug, some people refer to it as WPC.
I don't, but some people must.
Waterproofing floors, Mohawk. Mm. It is the huge new thing out here because it looks awesome and is waterproof. With laminates, you have a great top, but there is wood and it will bubble if it gets wet, Doug. The waterproof floor has the great look, but it is waterproof. There are so many nice colors to choose from. Where do people use this, Doug? You're probably asking yourself.
Yeah,
how about basements, bathrooms, kitchens, and places where you can live on it? There is no one cheaper on this. Mike over there at Michael's Flooring Outlet does a great job, ton of work with Mohawk, bought a huge truckload, and is selling it, Doug, at $2.49 a square foot. Mm. People are paying $3-4 right now. He's got like a dollar or $1.50 off. $2.49 a square foot at Michael's, okay? Four convenient locations in the St. Louis area, West County, St. Peter's, North County, Darden Prairie. Check them out on the web. Michaelsflooringoutlet.com.
Mm, I need some of that in my own crib.
I want to thank Corey, too, from DB's, myself, Plowsy, and Cam out there yesterday watching football. Great turnout, and as I told you guys last week, come out there and just order everything on the menu because you're going to get 50% off because I guaranteed you that the Minnesota was going to beat the Rams. So a lot of people came out there yesterday before the game, ordered a ton of food and booze, and they got 50% off.
Really?
And the pizza was really good there. I actually drank beers for the first time in a very long time.
And the waitresses were outstanding.
Yeah, one with a really nice butt.
What?
Doug, she had a really nice caboose and was fantastic. I gave her a nice tip.
Did you?
Doug, yep. Your thoughts on that waitress.
Well, I didn't go. I don't know. I didn't go. Sounded like they had a good time. Big crowd.
I love DB's. I haven't been to Soulard since I was kicked out of my apartment, so it was nice to get back to the old stomping grounds.
What local TV station forced that on you?
Doug's big channel, I think.
It was one that's really hurting right now, I think. And
yeah.
The one that's number one?
Doug. Yeah, it was. That was fun. That's a great story to have. As much as it was annoying at the time.
We couldn't have foreseen that it would cause your ouster.
That was funny. We won't need to get into it again, but that was really funny. No. It's a story that I tell random people and they don't believe me.
And you're probably safer to be out of
I like where I'm at now, so it ended up working out well.
A guy got shot there this weekend. 77-year-old guy stepped off a bus, got shot in the head. Turned out to be a BB gun. Someone shot him in the head with a BB gun. I guess he was down and hurting for a while.
And somebody I mentioned probably a couple months ago on the show, I kept talking about her, Pally. Pally Vogelsong.
What?
Pally was there yesterday.
Pally Vogelsong.
Ryan Vogelsong's
It's not her real
niece.
Name. Not her last name.
Niece.
Refresh my memory. I forgot who that is.
Pally? Yeah. I don't know what we were talking about, but I brought up Pally Vogelsong, and she became like a topic for like a week on the show. People were actually texting in as Pally Vogelsong.
Really?
Yeah, and Pally was there yesterday. Looked good.
Well, I'm glad you got to see her.
So there you go. That killed a minute.
Maybe someday you'll see her at Hollywood Casino. 590 The Fan and InsideSTL.com present Hollywood Casino as our latest listener rewards program. Here's what you get. You get two hotel rooms and a $50 food and beverage credit to Hollywood Casino for only $200. That's more than 60% off a premier hotel and casino in St. Louis. Rooms can be used on back-to-back nights or split them up on separate visits. It really doesn't matter. Enjoy your $50 credit at one of the many excellent restaurants. You're saying, could you name a few? Well, I can. 99 Hops House, Final Cut Steakhouse, Eat Up Buffet, Fat Thai, Hollywood and Grind, and Celebrity Grill. So what are you waiting for? Those are fantastic spots to eat. To take part in the offer, you just log on to InsideSTL.com and click on the Listener Rewards tab to enjoy this fantastic holiday deal. Now, there are only 20 packs available, so make sure you purchase now before they are gone.
Well done. Iggy wants to talk about the AMAs. What's going on here?
Hey, well, it's just a question I have for you guys, because I know Doug watched it, because he tweeted out something about watching the AMAs.
I did? I did not.
Or Facebook something. I saw something where you said something about getting ready for the AMAs.
I don't believe I did.
Well, let's get to the bottom of this before we get to your...
I saw just a second or two of it.
Oh, well, my question
was... What did you tweet or post?
I don't think I tweeted or posted anything.
You have a staff doing stuff for you without your knowledge?
No, I didn't watch it.
Fake Doug Vaughn, maybe it was...
Well, that could be. There's been a few of those.
Yeah, but my question is, because I just like music shows, I didn't know 90% of these people. And I thought the best performance of the night was somebody I never heard of, some guy named Portugal. Yeah. Portugal guy?
A little bit.
Man from Portugal? Whatever.
I didn't know him either. And I thought, boy, I'm getting old. But then they always like to get the cutting edge, the latest.
Yeah. I mean, what happened to music back in the days when you actually knew all these bands? And I think Lady Gaga was the only one that didn't lip sync, Doug. My God.
Oh, I bet she did.
Look, I'm all for the, God, who's the little one that just got a liver transplant? Was banging Bieber
Paul
for
Williams.
A while.
Paul Williams.
He was banging Justin Bieber for a while.
Got a liver transplant.
Yeah, she was banging Justin Bieber for a while.
I don't know who
Carol
that
Channing.
Been.
No.
Plowsy. Stockard Channing.
Yeah, her.
Yeah, it was Stockard
But she was on there, and it was I think they said it was her first performance of the year, and it was going to be emotional. Now, God love her for getting up there, but she laid on the floor and lip-synced. Didn't even sing. What is the... It's not performing.
Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez, yeah.
That's what I thought.
So God love her, but everybody, except for maybe two... And again, this pink, is that all she does now is just do high wire acts while she sings?
Well, you don't have to sing as well.
She was on a skyscraper outside the hotel, jumping up and down on wire singing. She did it a couple years ago where she was like on a high wire. And it's all she does now is just acrobats while she sings. This isn't music.
Get Didn't some Gaga jump off a building for her performance?
Yeah, that was fake.
Super Bowl.
It was fake.
But
she didn't dance on wires while she was hanging over the Superdome.
I don't think she could.
And Diana Ross, God love you. You have to bring your whole family up there? Like 90 people on the stage. It's an American Music Award lifetime achievement. You had like 90 people on the stage.
Boy, don't be so angry.
Her daughter, host of the show, who is not funny, by the way.
Wait, you're mad at Diana Ross? She was an icon.
I love Diana Ross.
Well, why can't she have her family?
There are 90 people on the stage. I think one of her grandkids just grabbed the mic and started doing his own thing. I don't know. I just don't. The music awards now are just, if I don't know who they are, and it's not performing if you're lip syncing. Oh, just play the music and let them stand there.
I agree with that. I'm anti-lip syncing.
I just feel like who gives the AMA awards? Is there like a group? What are the?
I believe it's fans vote.
Because I just feel like...
That's why it's another thing.
I just feel like as an industry, they've turned their back on Kid and Play.
Yeah, they weren't there last night.
That's so true. House Party, and then House Party, what, 2, and then also 3?
You get a Lifetime Achievement Award for those guys, then I'm back in.
Cat, holiday cash. You need it. I know where to get it. MyBookie is the place to score serious cash money on your sports predictions. Somebody texted and said Doug was 5-0 on his picks.
Yeah,
how about that?
I don't know if that's true. I don't know. Doug knows.
I don't pay attention. But I
know
think
my
that
lock was Mizzou. I would have bet $10,000 that Mizzou would have beaten Vanderbilt by more than 8.5 points if I had any guts at all.
A lot of people, if you rolled with Mizzou early, you're cashing every single week because they're on a nice run here. Believe it or not,
It's a turnaround.
But also covering, they're blowing everybody out with this, said turnaround. The holidays just around the corner, and while that means plenty of parties, gifts, and spending, it also means there's lots of football, basketball, and hockey games you can score big on every day. Man up, Doug, and play like the pros on game day.
Probably
you can play the money line, the side, the over-under. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, offering super fast payouts when you win. Because where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money, you got to go to mybookie.ag. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid, Doug, in the Escalade.
I'd have had a good week on mybookie.org if Shermer doesn't throw the interception, first and goal on the 2-yard line, you piece of crap.
Hey, come on.
Boy, you are angry.
Well, that did upset me. I mean, it's the over line 66. They're at 62, first and goal on the 2 with 2.5 minutes to go. I'm just going to throw it right into the end zone where there's 3 Mizzou players and none of my guys are there. It cost me that game and a 3-team parlay.
I did not gamble this week. And I know I threw out there my lock was Ohio State. Sometimes I just kind of find a game. I'm not going to lie. I didn't really.
But you love Ohio State.
No, I do.
I mean, you love everything about that program.
No, I do. But I actually thought most of these teams that needed style points would run up the score. And you saw that with Clemson. You saw that with Alabama. Ohio State was
Florida up, International.
I don't think so. But Ohio State was up 38-0 at the half, and they took JT Barrett out. And the spread was 42, I believe. And they bring in the backup quarterback, and then basically immediately you have a fumble, scoop and score, touchdown the other way, made it 38-7. And then Urban Meyer brings his quarterback back in the game after he had just given him his send-off, basically, to wave to the fans. It was senior day. So he's like going off the field. It's 38-0. He's waving to the fans. And then the backup quarterback coughs it up, and all of a sudden he brings the guy back. And they still didn't cover. It was 52-14, so a 38-point margin. So if you bet on me, I apologize, guys.
It was an Illinois late score, too, I think, to cover that.
Yes, boy, it was.
That Illinois program is a mess.
Poor Lovie Smith.
It is unfixable, man.
Whoa.
I'm telling you. I mean, Lovie Smith is a good coach, and if you can't do anything with that, then you are struggling. I mean, it's Kansas-esque to where it's a great, I mean, it's a good basketball program.
Now you got
program.
Doug, man.
Well, it is. I mean, the football program has been terrible for God knows how long, and at least Kansas got to the number two ranking one year. Mm-hmm. I think Illinois, you know, had a good run with Juice Williams at the quarterback position in freshman or sophomore year, but after that, it has been...
That's probably
Ron
10
Zook
years
left.
Ago?
Yeah, after Ron Zook left, it's been a disaster.
Yeah, that turned out to be a mistake to get rid of
Yes, very much so.
Hey, how about this, you guys? So last night and yesterday, I'm trying to clean the house out to get ready for this nursery, for the baby, right? So I'm trying to get rid of a bunch of stuff. So I'm looking in closets and all that, and I have this old stereo. I'm like, you know what? I have no use for this. I'll never use it. It's kind of like a big boom box with speakers that extend out. And then I have this TV. It's a TV VCR combo. I actually got... At after prom, it was the main prize in 2000 for my after prom TV VCR combo. We're talking the year 2000. Then I had this bed frame. So I wanted to just get rid of this stuff. So I go to Goodwill last night, right before they're closing. And I go to the guy and I say, you know, I got this TV, I got the bed frame, and I got the boom box. He goes, we don't take the bed frame. He said, I'll take the stereo. And then he looks at the TV and he says, we only take flat screens. This is Goodwill.
Really?
I mean, you're telling me there's not somebody out there that doesn't want my TV VCR combo. It's a perfectly good television. It still works, but it's an old box TV. So
wow.
It's been sitting there. It's been sitting there in my closet.
Yeah, you can't
get
them away.
But I figured I might as well try to have... I mean, wouldn't somebody pay $10 for that, $15?
I don't know.
For a perfectly good working television?
Put it on Craigslist.
I put it out in front of my house for the garbage now.
But the problem is you probably can't play video games in it.
Well,
the screen is the wrong size.
Entertainment for people who have... You know, little money or on a
that's
low
my whole
budget.
Point.
Like, this is not Goodwill. It's not for somebody
not
who has
saying,
a 360 and pulling in a Hummer. You know, I mean, this is for people that if they want entertainment but don't have a lot of cash. I would agree with Charlie completely. Only
well, the truth
is,
and believe me, I know that there's a lot of people that fall through the cracks. I'm not saying, but even people below the poverty line have flat screen televisions now. I mean, it's true. It is true.
Nobody wants the old fashioned TV.
Yeah,
I told you, I had a 37 inch big RCA. Screen. The thing weighed every bit of 300 pounds. I had it in the basement. We said, let's take it upstairs and maybe we'll sell it or give it to Goodwill or
you
or
cut it in half, right?
I had to cut it in half just to get it upstairs.
And you accidentally cut John Vaughn in half.
I didn't cut him in half, no. But nobody wants them. Nobody will take them.
I still have mine. It was my parents. And when we were cleaning out the house and keeping certain things, I said, well, I'll take the TV. It's an RCA. It's a big console. And I still have it. I guess it's kind of sentimental that it belonged to my parents. We bought
it
for
Christmas. So what do you do, put the TV on top of it?
No, it's in my bedroom, just kind of right up against the wall. I can't get it out to the trash, and I don't want to throw it away. Nobody wants it, so what are you going to do with it? It's kind of sentimental, so it just sits there.
You got to take it apart to move it. They're so heavy.
No, we moved it when I moved when I came back home from Brentwood or from Bermuda, and I had the parents' TV, and I took it. And I lived on the second floor of where I moved into. Me and my brother-in-law carried that up the steps. It was maybe 15 steps. It took us an hour and a half to get up. We stopped at every step and said, we can't do it. One more step. It took us an hour and a half to go 15 steps. That's how heavy this thing was.
Yeah. That's Doug, and you and I are literally 3 to 4 years away from becoming human versions of console TVs where mm-hmm. people don't want us, no. but they don't want to move us, so they're right. just going to let us sit there.
Get too heavy to move.
Yeah.
It takes a dolly to wheel us out of there.
Hey, do you want Grandpa Vaughn? I don't want him. What are we going to do with him? Just leave him sit
look
there.
At the size of him.
Maybe I'll take it to Goodwill.
Maybe you could take another person and stack on top of Grandpa Vaughn.
I just think it's funny, though, that my TV was not even good enough for Goodwill. And I love Goodwill, don't get me wrong. But they did not want my
You're
TV.
You're holding them accountable.
I just thought it was kind of funny. I mean, it's pretty heavy. I took the time to put it in my car, take it down there, and they're like, nah. So then I'm not going to take it back in my house at that point. So I put it for the garbage this morning. Now I feel bad for the garbage, dude.
No, but no, someone will take that because you can get parts out of it. That's another thing. People use those things for all kinds of parts. So someone will take it. I love Goodwill. When we live in the Central West End, we constantly bring stuff. I don't remember them ever saying no to anything.
Well, they will. They're in it for the profit, just like everybody else. They've got a CEO who makes hundreds of thousands of dollars.
But also the Goodwill. That's the name of it, Goodwill. So yeah, they're in it for Goodwill.
I wouldn't necessarily be swayed by
pick
that.
Do they pick up anymore, or was the person lying to me? Because when I cleaned out my closet, and I gave a lot of it to Plowsy, but the stuff that I knew he wouldn't wear, I put in a big bag, and I called Goodwill and said, I've got some clothes here if you want to come get them. Now you'll have to bring them down. I said, well, I'm not driving. If you want them, come get them. I'm not driving down there.
No,
I'm doing you the favor. They said they didn't pick them up.
They got plenty of stuff.
Do they not pick up anymore?
I never knew them to pick up.
There are some charitable organizations that will.
But they're also pretty close. I mean...
Well, I just didn't feel like driving.
Every place, it seems, has a Goodwill nearby where you, if you want to do the right thing, you could drive 6 minutes.
Well, you say...
Or you could come pick it up.
It feels like the right thing, but remember, these people are making money off it. It's like,
but
like the thrift stores. You come and give them stuff for nothing, and they turn around and sell it.
But they also do a lot of good things for poor people,
people with addictions, Goodwill, Salvation Army. Otherwise might not be employable. They do a lot of good things. They do. Goodwill does good.
They provide Goodwill.
I hope so. They've got a good image. But they also take your stuff for nothing and sell it, and they've got people making a lot of money.
But you don't want this stuff. I mean, if you could take the time. I could probably take the time if I wanted to and put this TV on Craigslist or whatever, and I don't want to do this. I don't care. I don't even know what I'd get, but I'm allowing them to take it off my hands. I don't want this, and they can do whatever they want and provide some Goodwill.
But if they can't sell it, they just assume not take your trash.
Correct.
Because then they got to deal with it.
I got a friend who's got a little side business selling stuff on eBay, and he still makes good money off that.
Does he report it to the IRS?
I didn't check his books. He's not a member.
Cat. You should probably work with Doug, some type of local attorney, to get things straight in terms of
tax
laws and
Yeah,
you're
talking about IRS issues now, right?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're going to help you find the
spot. Well, if you've sold hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of items on eBay and maybe didn't pay your taxes.
Bobbleheads, yeah.
And now you're in arrears and you've got all kinds of IRS problems. I got the guy for you. If you're currently sideways with the IRS, do you have years of unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night? Are you facing tax liens, bank levies, or wage garnishments? Well, if so, you should contact former Department of Justice Tax Division attorney Mark Milton. Here's his website, stltaxlawyer.com. Mark Milton and stltaxlawyer.com provide a local and holistic approach to tax resolution. Don't be sucked into one of the out-of-town tax resolution groups you hear on TV and the radio. If you have IRS problems, you know who to visit now. His name is Mark Milton, and his website is stltaxlawyer.com. You can visit that today. Nobody needs IRS problems. That's more trouble than you ever want. This guy can help you get through it. Remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.
And Doug, I got an email. I believe it was from Dan Packer, and it was an email correspondence with your guy, Mark Milton. And apparently the other day I said something like, let's hear from Milty. And he said, that's all good. All of his buddies call him Milty. So it's cool if we call him Milty.
Okay.
Or also, in a more formal setting, Mark Milton.
Mark Milton.
Can we call him Uncle Milty, like Milton Berle?
Maybe.
I guess you could.
He's good with Milty, though.
Okay.
I have that on the record.
Well, thank you, Milty.
So we got that going.
STLTaxLawyer.com.
Let's see here. We had a pretty good text talking about TVs. Doug, actually, somebody's saying, Charlie, I'll take the TV. I'll pay you $55, but you got to bring 5 Linus pizzas with you, and I'm in Louisville. That probably doesn't make sense for me financially.
You wouldn't do that deal. Just that it was a maybe until you heard the Louisville part.
You can put almost anything on Craigslist, and somebody will buy it.
If you want to get rid of it, there's a free section on Craigslist. If you have things you just want, you put free, and your phone will blow up.
Or that Facebook Marketplace. That's actually a great little thing, Facebook Marketplace. If you're looking for, people are selling everything on there. I told you, when I figured I wasn't using my dining room table anymore, I always eat in front of the TV on the coffee table. And I don't have any friends, so nobody comes over and eats. So I never use the dining room table. But all I did was I would throw like bills on there, and it just got cluttered up. And I have no room in my apartment where I have golf clubs and bowling balls in the living room. So I said, you know what? I'm getting rid of the dining room table. Then I can move my stuff in there. And I put it out in like the gravel in front of my front door to decide what I was going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And like 2 days later, it's gone. So I guess somebody took it. My neighbor said, boy, I put that table on Craigslist, got $25 for it. I said, what? Well, yeah, you were throwing it away. I said, well, yeah, but it's my table. If you're going to put it on Craigslist, do I get anything out of it?
Yeah, sure.
He just took a picture of it, put it on Craigslist, and 2 days later, the table was gone.
Where's your cut?
I would like a cut.
He gave me nothing.
He said, you were going to throw it away. I said, well, yeah, but...
And he didn't give you $5 out of it?
Nothing. He made $25 off my table.
Doug Stubby, applause on the text line, says, at least you have televisions. Back in my day, we had to act out live performances for our entertainment. Look at Cat. Cat's totally checked out.
That wasn't that long ago.
This guy right here, listen. He's already leaving us when we need him the most. A couple days early for Thanksgiving. We'll be here bringing hot sports takes. So he's not going to be here tomorrow. He cares about his family more than us. And then one day, I mean, you have one day this week to really provide sports takes. And all you care about is Cat's chats.
No, I was going over a little copy that I have to recut. And
I need you engaged.
You already got me in trouble on the home front. Thank you very much.
How so?
You did.
How?
Because I was telling my wife, Erin, how you and your lovely wife are expecting.
Uh-oh.
I said, a little girl. And she said, oh, what are they going to name it? And I go, oh, he said it. It's Janie May. I forgot. And
that's
she's
fine.
Like, you know, you always remember the stupid stuff. Like, you'll be like, oh, Charlie said this on the show, something stupid, but now it's something I care about. You can't even tell me the little girl's name.
That is true. That's a guy thing, though. We don't remember anything that's actually important, but we can tell you the OBP of Giancarlo Stanton, but we don't know our friends' kids' names. I'm the same way. There's some of my, I got some cousins that have kids and all that, and I just, before a party and all that, I have to like go to Facebook, and I have to try to figure out the kids' names, because I cannot remember. It's bad.
It gets
women
worse.
Are good at that.
It gets worse the older you get, too.
Women are really good, though, with the thank you cards, with the registering for stuff, and getting gifts, and kind of knowing all that.
Well, they're better people than we are, just
That's
in
true.
General.
That's why, like, if you're going to, like yesterday, all our kids, Tyler's friends, had a play date at the park, and a lot of the dads went. So there was, like, the dads group discussing stupid stuff.
Stepdads, the hot
and
stepdads.
Then, boy, you are vile.
That's where this is going, isn't it?
Boy, you are vile. Yeah, there, not one stepdad in the bunch, but you can go ahead over here and let your imagination fantasies run wild. I'll talk to Charlie.
Right. What
so
else
there's
happened?
A circle of the dads, no stepdads, just regular dads, and moms.
What were they wearing?
And on the dad side, talking stupid stuff, I'm sure, and on the mom side, important things, because guys are stupid.
Absolutely.
And Doug, you should suspend yourself. Because if someone else brought up stepdads and all that, you would consider suspending
them. That's been your hot topic for a long time now. I figured maybe that's where that story was
going. You, sir, are the prince of disinformation.
No.
This is a great text here. I totally agree with this. Wildwood Whisker Biscuit says, I would like to sponsor a segment each week where Doug holds a different nonprofit accountable.
Nonprofit, right.
Maybe next week we can take on Tommy at the local soup kitchen who has taken a few too many slices of bread.
I don't believe
that
will.
That's text of the day. That's text of the day.
That's really good. Listen, I don't even know what the profit margins, if it's a nonprofit of Goodwill. I'm just saying, Goodwill and Salvation Army, we've done remotes there over the years. And they have fantastic programs for people who are battling addiction and women, and battered women shelters and things like that. So they do a lot of work.
And they put a lot of people to work that aren't necessarily part of the mainstream workforce.
And
I know that firsthand.
And they sell items to people who don't have the wealth of some others.
There's only one way to get to the bottom of this, is to Google it. Is Goodwill bad?
Jim Gibbons is the CEO. How much is Jim Gibbons?
Wait, so you're playing class warfare so they could do a lot of good, but if he makes a lot of money?
What is MERS, by the way? Isn't it MERS Goodwill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think MERS employs handicapped people. They find places.
Oop, that's off HuffPost, and that's kind of Charlie's domain.
Oh, I never read HuffPost. That's
Goodwill's charity racket. CEOs earn top dollar. Workers paid less than minimum wage. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but look,
CEO made $729,000 last year. $729,000.
Okay, but let me spin it this way. In all seriousness, if you're the CEO of a nonprofit. And look, I'm fine with those people.
Are you sure it's a nonprofit?
Okay, I'm just saying hypothetically. If you're a CEO of a company that does good things and raises money for charities or for causes, if you are really, really great at your job and you are bringing in more money and you are bringing sponsors on board and you're creating more, hate to use the pun, but goodwill for others, I'm fine with that person being paid a lot of money.
As long as the people know what the game is. As long as people know that.
Well, what should that person make, though? I mean, that's a good question. Should they make $50,000?
Can I just say that I agree with you, but that's another argument. Like, I'm not into that class warfare. Well, why does he make that much? Because guess what, Doug? You or I make a lot more, even though we complain about how much, than someone else.
Right.
So they could point to us and say, why do you get to make that much?
But people don't walk up and give us things for us to sell.
With charity.
Under the guise that this is all for poor people.
Here's what it boils down to. If it is a nonprofit, I like to know how much of the money actually goes to the cause.
Let's figure this out.
And there are websites that you can go, and we're not even talking about Goodwill specifically. I don't know if they're a nonprofit. I do know they do a lot of good. But if it's a charity you're given to, you can look up to see how much money allegedly, actually goes to the cause.
Well,
and then make
charities,
your decision on where you donate that
A lot
that
of
way.
Charities have people making outrageous money. And I don't think a lot of people know when they donate their money or their furniture or TVs or whatever, that a lot of that is going to pay the salaries of the people running it.
But well, that's also, that's creating jobs for other people. I'm not specifically talking about the CEOs, but we were at Ryan Kelly's place last week, and he said one of the reasons he loves Backstoppers is if you donate $10, $9 of those dollars is going right to Backstoppers. If you donate $100, obviously $90 is going right to Backstoppers. Even every nonprofit and charity, there's going to be overhead. I mean, there's people working for that charity. They shouldn't work for free.
No, they shouldn't.
That's their job.
No, absolutely.
But there's regulations on charities too, depending on what kind of charity, how big you are. Like the Megan Meyer Foundation, we had a girl who did all of her job was she would reach out to organizations to see if they would be interested in funding. To get grants. And we had to let her go because there's only so much money you're allowed to use for salary. And we didn't have the money to pay her. So we lose somebody who is doing great work for the organization because we're only allowed to pay so much money to employees and we didn't have the money to pay her.
How about this? And this is from Wikipedia, just so you know where I'm reading it. But Goodwill Industries International, or shortened to Goodwill, is an American nonprofit, which is 501c3. I don't know what that means. But
it's
an American nonprofit.
It's an aircraft carrier that holds a lot of...
All right. That provides job training.
Voluminous. It's huge.
This is a serious topic, okay, Kat? I know you're in vacation mode, okay? But we're trying to debunk this. It's an American nonprofit that provides job training, employment, placement services, and other community-based programs for people who have barriers preventing them from otherwise obtaining a job. In addition, Goodwill Industries may hire veterans and individuals who lack education or job experience or face employment challenges. Goodwill is funded by a massive network of retail thrift stores, which operate as nonprofits as well.
With a CEO who made $730,000 last year.
With a revenue in 2012 of $3.53 billion. It's in 17 countries. Their focus, vocational rehabilitation for disabled persons.
Yes. I actually think that's a pretty...
It's a noble thing to do.
No, I think that's a fair value for his salary in terms of how much they gross and what they do for community outreach and charities. I think what some CEOs make for some companies is astronomical in comparison to not even a million. Maybe he does more work than you think. I think that's for a CEO, I think that's a fine salary for the work that Goodwill does.
I think Charlie's point is well taken. If you're the guy that can successfully operate this business so there is more good to spread around,
Goodwill,
then he's worth it. I think Doug's big problem on Doug's big channel, no, it has nothing to do with Doug's big channel.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
In this country, in many cases, with big corporations and the corporate infrastructure,
big
you
pharma.
Can have a CEO who is a proven failure still making a ton of money.
That's kind of cheap, though, if you think about it. $750,000 for over $3 billion in profits.
And if you're Goodwill, you want to recruit the best possible CEO. And if you're competing with other huge corporations that might pay this dude $2, $3, $4 million, I mean, this guy, if this man or woman is really, really good, that person could impact your gross revenue by potentially billions or hundreds of millions.
And I also think it's important to understand, too, that why does he get to have, you know, two houses? Well, who says you get to have four cars? You know, there are people on the street that will look at everyone in here and say, well, that we're well off, okay? And we look at the people above us, and there's a lot of people got nothing
in this country.
But they probably still have a flat screen TV.
That's true.
Sure, but comparatively, they have nothing. Why do we get to make this much? I just think it's wrong for someone else to point to what someone else is making, unless it's a corporate failure that's still there making billions of dollars, a CEO that isn't showing any positive toward the company that he's employed by.
What you just said, too, I think, in all seriousness, is the key to happiness. Because if you're constantly comparing yourself, there is always going to be somebody that has it a little bit better, whether it's more money, bigger house, bigger car, you look at their family, whatever it may be, there's always somebody. If you're the most successful person in the world, I mean, you look up, there's always going to be that one person that you compare yourself to. And if you do that every day, your mind is going to be poisoned by, and then you don't realize how well off you have it.
Yeah, I mean, if people are generally happy, then they're not looking at the person above them. No one's ever going to reach the number one guy, and I think we all agree it's Adrian Smet.
Good point. Let's end the segment on that. Take a break. TJ Moe coming up on the other side talking about, what would you call what Mizzou's done over the last 5 weeks? What's a good word for it?
Recovery. What is it? There's one word would really describe it. One.
Plowsy?
It's a turnaround.
Turnaround, yeah.
What are you pointing to? Sea Monster? Is he on? What's going on? Oh, Frank Opinion on? Let's go to Frank Opinion on the phone line before we get to the break. Wants to talk about charitable work. Frank Opinion, how you doing?
I'm great. How much time do we have? You guys have the break, right? Like in the middle?
Yeah, we don't follow breaks. Yeah. You're Frank Opinion.
We don't take breaks, so we
You're
can
Frank
do it as
Opinion.
Long as you want.
Say what you want
to say. No, this is why these shows work well morning and afternoon. I don't follow any rules of breaks either. Here's the deal. Here's the way I've always thought about the charity thing. I think about this. Jerry Lewis just passed away not long ago. One of the meanest, nastiest guys that ever lived. And they used to say, well, you know, he gets nothing for doing the telethon. And then one time I heard somebody say, oh, no, it's kind of a secret, but he gets $2 million a year. So what? Think of it this way. Every year, this guy raised like $50 million. Okay, if you can bring me $50 million a year, I will gladly pay you $2 million. $50 million we wouldn't have had. So if the CEO makes, you know, like $1 million, but he brings in $20-30 million they would never have had otherwise, I'm happy to pay him or her. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
No, I just think
you for bringing clarity.
I just think with Goodwill in particular, people think they are just donating to a cause. And yeah, that there's not a big pot of money for anybody at the end of it, and there is.
I don't know that there's a big. I don't like a lot of those charities because I don't know much about them, and I like to kind of see exactly directly where my money goes. But you can't run an organization like Goodwill without somebody at the helm who is really smart, and really smart people aren't going to work for $50,000 a year. And if it makes the machine work better, and they take in a whole lot more than they could without that person, I say pay him. It's like Lewis. You know, I knew just enough about Jerry Lewis to know the guy was just a horrible human being, mean to people.
I saw that last interview he did that was just horrendous what he did to that poor guy.
You have time real quickly. Mickey Carroll. You know who Mickey Carroll
is? Sure.
Was?
Yeah. Friend of the show.
True story, because I have a friend that works at the Fox. Jerry Lewis is at the Fox. And the Yankees is the play, and Mickey Carroll, a munchkin, a little bitty guy, one of the last, if not the last, remaining munchkins, goes to Fox. True story, it was in the paper, and I actually talked to Mickey about it, and he takes a check for $1,000 to MDA, and all he says is he asks somebody if he could just get backstage and shake Jerry Lewis's hand. He has a check for $1,000, okay? Now, I might have said $1 million. It's $1,000. So this person that I know works there said they went back to Jerry and said, there's a guy here who wants to meet you before the show or after the show. And he said, who is it? This is Mickey Carroll. He's a munchkin from The Wizard of Oz. And he goes, I'm not going to meet a damn munchkin. Why would I meet a munchkin? They go, well, he has a check for $1,000. I said, Jerry said something to the effect of, F him, I don't need to meet any munchkins. He can keep his money. Now, that's a horrible guy. That's a horrible guy. But it's also a guy who raised 50, 60 million a year on a telethon. Yes, did he do it to some degree because it put the spotlight on him and it gave him a big platform every year to do a nationwide telecast show? Yeah, he had a big ego. But $50 million, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of wheelchairs for ALS people. It's a lot of money.
Well, Frank, I think if you check, there's not a charity in this country that has every person working for free. Somebody's making money.
Exactly. It's impossible. And if you did, it would be a disaster. It would be a disaster. Now, yeah, I can't believe I'm talking about something so serious. As soon as you said how much do CEOs of charities make, I don't know what Ron Battelle at Backstoppers makes. He's the executive director. I don't know. I don't care. I don't care what he makes. I know what they do. And if 9 out of every $10 can still go to Backstoppers, if to do that he has to make $1 million, which he doesn't. But if he did, fine. Because if without him, we might have $9.50, $9.50 out of every 10. But now we only make 30% as much as we used to. I'll take the guy that knows how to do it. That's all. That's all.
Thank you, Frank. Right.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you for the clarity. Don't be a stranger.
And thank you for taking my call, and you didn't have to tell me to turn my radio down. You know?
And you thought all we talked about was porn on the show.
No, I thought that was enough of what you talked about to get me to tune in. And by the way, I heard the interview with, didn't you have Lisa Ann on or something?
She's on every Friday with us, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she does our fantasy football.
I didn't know she was on every Friday. I just heard her one time, and I thought, wait a second. How did they get her, and our show doesn't get her? That's all I thought.
You could steal her.
No. What I have to do is now come up with a bigger name in porn than Lisa Ann. And
Lexington Steel is really popular right now.
Who?
Lexington Steel.
See, you're not really supposed to admit that you know that.
No,
yeah,
but he does.
I agree.
He does.
You're supposed to act like who? Like you don't even. What you should have said was, "Who's Lisa Ann?" That's what you should have said. No, you start naming other big. Go ahead, give us all the big porn stars.
That's the only one I know.
Is that a woman or a man?
It's a man.
See, you shouldn't have known.
Yes, I agree.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Frank. Happy Thanksgiving, Frank Opinion. Checking in. 3 to 6 now. Doug, Monday through Thursday, right here on 590 The Fan. We'll take a break. That was fun. And we'll talk it over with TJ Moe talking Mizzou football and this turnaround coming up next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.